Thanks, Lancey. Who loves Leonie's cape? I thought it was really cool that she was giving the offering talk because she's the count and she loves the count. Go ahead and take... let's stay standing, we'll pray, and then we can sit down. Well, you can, I can't. Well, Father God, we praise your name as the name above every other name. We thank you for who you are. That you've always been, you are now, and you always will be. We love you, and we ask that today the message that you've prepared falls into hearts that need to hear it and grows into something great in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a seat, guys. Always want to say, like the old dad jokes, take a seat, but don't take it with you. So today's message title, I got my message in a bit late to the team, so on the screens today, you're not going to have a message title, so it's blank. So that means you've got to take notes, right? So you can get out your phones, you can get out your notebooks, you can get out whatever you want. Also, there was a glitch in the system this morning, and it means that the Bible verses won't be up as well. So when I'm preaching, if you want me to repeat a Bible verse, just say, huh? Or repeat that? Or what was that one again? And we can have a conversation. Is that okay? I do this thing with my team at work, and they pick on me all the time for it, because I always say to them, oh, we're going to do XYZ. Is that okay? And I wait for them all to say yes. And the other day they said, why do you do that? Why are you always asking us, is that okay? Is that okay? And I think it's a really cool thing in life, and it's a really cool thing when sharing a message, and it's also a really cool thing when you're having conversations and evangelizing to actually ask permission and wait for a yes. So is it okay if I share a message with you guys today? Great. Is it okay for you to receive it into your hearts? Is it okay to know that I struggled with this message all week long? Because I really did. The first person I needed to challenge on this message this week was me. And it's called God Gets Amongst It. God gets amongst it. Or, if you want a big fancy title for it, it's this: God's Unseen Work, a Symphony of Patience, Power and Prayer. Yeah, that one's all right, isn't it? So this message has already been preached this morning in worship. This message has already been preached by what Lizzie shared. This message is definitely from God because it came through in praise and worship this morning. I leaned over to my wife this morning. I said, they're singing the message. I love it when that happens because it knows I've listened through the week to what God has for you and what God had for me first. So today, as I said, we will be talking about patience, power, and prayer. What are the three we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about patience,
power, and prayer.
Patience, power, and prayer. Who's good with patience? You are? You're the only one that put your hand up. So well done. I'm terrible with it. I am... probably the lesson that God wants to teach me the most in life, and maybe to you at home as well, is patience. We live in a society of instant gratification. Yesterday, Gaynor and I were talking about a cruise we'll be taking in a few weeks' time. So in 11 days, not that anyone's counting. If my daughter was here, where's my daughter this morning, Oliver? Don't worry, you don't have to answer it. But if my daughter was here this morning, she'd be going, woohoo, because she's coming with us as well. But the thing is, Gaynor loves a Facebook reel. So if you're on our social media, it's Gaynor that does our Facebook reels. She's the queen of the reels. She keeps it real. And on our cruise, last time we took, our first cruise we ever took, I make it sound like we do cruises all the time. This is like our third one ever, and we're on the other side of 50, so that ain't that many cruises, right? Not yet. Well, hey... the rest of us are. We're going on it for her 50th. Anyway, I digress. Gaynor wanted to find a way to make a video on the cruise. So she looked up on the app store, didn't find the app, used an app, deleted an app, went to another one, downloaded another app and got another app. And yeah, this happened 3 or 4 times. But the thing is, it was instant. She didn't have to wait for anything. And that's the kind of world we live in. We don't have to wait for anything. So sometimes when we pray and it doesn't happen... somewhere in us, we think because it didn't happen, something's not working. I've got to tell you right now, God never stops working. Just because your prayer isn't like this, doesn't mean God hasn't heard it and received it. It means that right now it ain't right for you. It ain't right for you. So I wrote this down because God gave this to me to write down. And this was a real punch in the guts for me. I hope, I pray, it's a punch in the guts for someone else. And I mean that in the most beautiful, loving way I can. Listen to this. If you're taking notes, this is one to write down. God is to be worshipped. God does not exist to serve you, please you, or sit around waiting for your prayers just so he can answer them. I'm going to actually say it again. God is to be worshipped. We exist, in fact, we exist to worship God. He made us to worship him. He doesn't need it, but that's what that's why we are. If people are like, oh, I don't know why humans even are, we're here, we exist to worship God. The world, and you know who the temporary ruler of the world is, we don't need to give him too much credit, he tricks us into thinking that it's the other way around. That, you Christians, you're all schmucks because you pray and your God doesn't answer your prayers. But we need to worship him. And the Bible talks about worshiping God by name. What is God's name? Yahweh. Yahweh. What does that mean? See, I'm talking about entering into a personal relationship with God. My name is Grant. People who don't know me call me Grant. You can tell my non-friends because they call me Grant. If you call me Grant, I don't like you. It's true. I don't care if you're from South Australia and you've got an excuse. My name is Grant. And if we're going to be mates, we're going to be close, you call me Grant, Grantos, Grantos, Melantos, Mulzo or Mulzy. I answer to a whole bunch of names. God answers to a whole bunch of names as well. He answers to majesty. See, we've lost in history, we've lost his original name. We've lost his original name. Scholars agree we've lost his original name. But that breath, Yahweh. Yahweh. When I was a little boy in Catholic school and Catholic education and Catholic church, we used to sing a song. I loved it. Yahweh is the God of my salvation. I trust in him and have no fear. His name is also Majesty recorded throughout the Bible. There's another name in the Bible called, his name is Adonai in the Old Testament, which means majesty. And a lot of the time through the Bible, we know him as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which was replaced as well. His original name was replaced with Lord. But you know what? As long as you're calling him something personal, like I said, Grant, Grantos, Grantos Melantos, Mulzy or Mulzo, doesn't matter. It's a personal thing that you can call someone. If you're calling out and you're worshipping him by name, by the name that you have the personal relationship with, he's not going to be like me and say, don't call me Grant, I don't like that. He knows your heart. He knows when you're calling out to him. So number one today is worship God by name. If you're praying, worship God by name. Worship him first. Even, and we're going to talk about this soon, when Jesus taught us to pray, the first part was to worship God in heaven for who he is and by his name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. The only time you hear the word hallowed these days is when we're talking about the turf at the MCG, the hallowed turf, the holy pitch, the untouchable piece of grass. Hallowed be your name. Reverent be your name. Holy be your name. But then if we're not using his name, then the personal conversation almost goes out of it. I was singing when we were in praise and worship, and thank you, team, so much for that this morning. I was thinking about this space of false humility where we humble ourselves before God. I'm just not worthy of anything, and I just don't know, and I'm just so weak, and I just can't, and I've just got so many bad habits. And why would you answer my prayers, Lord? Because I'm not anything. I'm just a piece of dirt and a piece of dust and a... But God doesn't see us that way. In fact, listen to this. I'm going to go to the very, very beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No one was around to say, "Dear Lord, even though I'm not worthy this morning, please could you create the heavens and the earth for me?" He did all that to give us an environment for us to exist. In the first place, he thought us up. Just go back there anytime when you're feeling, because a lot of this message today is about having enough. A lot of this message today is about striving for more. But not trying to encourage you to sit in what you've got and think about what you've got and think about how God created it for you and think about just, you know, that's those little moments. And I know I get energetic. I'm sorry. I won't apologize. Forget it. Just those little moments, because it's contrary to what I'm about to say. Those little moments of Selah. Those little moments of, and as you breathe in and out, it sounds kind of Yahweh-ish. We, even our breath sounds like his name. It's so easy to remember who he is in us and through us. Am I going okay so far for you? Is this landing somewhere for someone? Is this encouraging someone this morning? Great. No person was here to ask God to give us what we needed. And his nature hasn't changed. He's still the God that created the heavens and the earth for you. When I spoke last week, I said when he created the fish in the ocean, he spoke over the seas. And when he created the trees and the plants, he spoke over the earth. And when he created us, he spoke to himself. Now, when you take the fish out of its natural environment, it dies out of the ocean. Except if Dale and I go fishing, we never catch fish. If you pull a tree out or a plant out of your garden, out of its natural environment, out of the earth, it withers and dies. If you pull yourself out of your natural environment, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you pull yourself out of that environment, you will wither and you will die. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, definitely, because the fight is not in the flesh, it's in the powers and principalities of a spiritual realm. You live in relationship with your Heavenly Father, amen? You live in that relationship. You're not in relationship with your bank balance. You're not in relationship with your sore ankle. I'm speaking to myself. You're not in relationship with your bad back. Also me. You're not in relationship with your unfitness. I'm just talking to myself like a crazy person. You're not in relationship with those things. You're in relationship with your Heavenly Father, the author and creator of your faith. Yeah? God's blessing and human desires. Let's talk about that. Again in Genesis 1:24, the Lord spoke to himself, as I just said, and he said, "Let us make human beings to be like us." God then made us to have authority over creation. I'm just reminding you of the origin stuff. I'm not doing big, nice, if anyone wants a nice, fluffy one today, it's not. This is not a nice, fluffy one. This is to remind you of who you are and why you were created and who we are as humanity. Because again, the world wants us to forget. God made us have authority over creation. It's in this verse, Genesis 1:24 and onwards. "And I will make them to have authority over the earth and over the animals and over the fish and over the plants and over the stuff," right? But back then, they didn't say and over tax and over rising interest rates and over increasing fuel prices, and it didn't list all those things. But I'm going to tell you that if it was the other stuff, it's this stuff as well. You know what? I've got to tell you about your thoughts, because the one thing you're in control of is your thinking. And if you're walking around thinking that things aren't great, you'll be tempted to say it. And if you say it, words get spoken out into the world, and then words become things. So your thoughts become your actions become your results. Your results becomes your environment. Your environment's where you live, and it affects your thinking. So if you're thinking stinking, realign it with what God told you in the first place. You have authority over that stuff. So you can speak it out. You can speak it out. You say, this is not for me. If you're being, like all of us in Australia, we're being taxed to the hilt, right? But you can speak out a different story. You don't have to put up, this is terrible, this is awful. You can say, no, you know what? God's got more for me because he promised me this in the beginning. We've got an entire Bible. We've got 66 more books to go. Like, I could have had a 66-point sermon today. In fact, I was going to do it. I had this big thing typed out. I might do it another day. I might save it for another day. But where God turns up in every single dark, dire circumstance in the Bible, he turns up and he transforms it. He turns up and he transforms it. He turns up and he transforms it. I'm going to list some in a minute just to remind you. We live in a broken world. We have to know it, right? But we can influence this broken world by speaking out truth, the truth of the message of the Bible. We can influence the brokenness in the world by speaking out the truth that God gave us. We can influence it. And don't confuse, listen, this is for somebody here whose faith is wavering. Do not confuse a broken world with a powerless God. Because our God is all powerful. And you were created and made manifest in the glory of God to affect the atmosphere that you've been placed in. You are not weak. You should never show that false humility. You are strong because God said, you will do greater than this, when he was speaking about his ministry, you will do greater than this and other things. You will be able to heal and you'll be able to speak blessings over people and you will be able to see the dead raised and the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear and the dead raised to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't forget it, because the world is trying to beat you up. God is all powerful to change the world. And you know what? He does it daily through people just like you. You need to praise God despite what you can see. Praise God despite what you can see. I know how hard it is. I've been in the most depressed state I could possibly have been in my life, to the point where I wanted to take my life. And I'm not saying this because I'm special. I'm not. I praised my way through it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. Harder than eating my mum's cooking. You know, right? Mum makes a good sausage roll, stops there. I love you, Mum. I say a joke so you remember it. Sometimes when your circumstances are so hard, you don't think to pray. I bought this in today because I wanted to show you. This was my first ever Bible that I ever had. It's called Finding God. And I got it one year before I became a Christian. 1 year. It cost me $2 from Coorong. I bought 5 copies. I gave one to Dale. I kept one, gave one to some other mates, and I'm like, it's a really good book. You know, don't worry about all the religious stuff, it's just a really good book. Maybe we should read it together. Remember I said that? And in 1 year, we read through the book, and it's got kind of little messages in there for blokes, and it's really, really cool. And I highlighted some stuff, and I wish I could buy another 20 copies, but it's out of print now. And I found God through the most difficult of circumstances, where I just didn't think it would happen. I was in a job where we could barely afford to pay our mortgage. Barely. We nearly lost our house. Gaynor and I were arguing all the time. I'd gone from this big healthy weight here down to about 70-something kilos. People thought I had cancer. It was that bad. People were asking me if I'm okay, if I was terminally ill, serious. I had to have suits taken in, all that sort of stuff. I was malnourished. I know it's hard to see me as malnourished, but it was. I was in a job where I was being bullied by my boss, all those sort of terrible circumstances, and I'm reading this book I'd never read before. You see, this is the thing that I wanted to share with you. is that if you're not hearing from God and you're not finding that your prayers are getting answered, I'm going to tell you that many of them already have been, and they're in the pages of this book. And the reason that you're not hearing from God, and by the way, I'm speaking to myself right here as well, I don't do it enough. The reason you're not hearing from God right now is because you're not reading what He wrote. You're not reading what He wrote. Because He wrote it for you. He wrote it personally for you. This is a love letter. It's got your name all the way through it. It's a love letter. And when we pray the same way that Jesus taught us to pray in Luke 11, 12, verses 2 through 10. Our Father in heaven, glory be your name. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. You know, don't rattle this prayer off. Don't be like, when I was brought up in a Catholic household, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Done. Or if you go to church on a Tuesday night, you do the rosary and you say that 100,000 times. Blah, 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 blah. Sit in it, chew on it. Oh, Father God, you're in heaven. This is me when I'm walking the dog in the morning. Oh, God, you're in heaven. Where's heaven? Where's heaven? Well, the Lord says that it's close. It's closer than you think, because I'm hanging on to everything that He's written in here, and I know it's true. He said it's close. How close is it? He said it's so close. It's closer than your next breath. Well, that was my next breath. Heaven must be pretty close. Well, Lord, holy, hallowed be your name. Oh, what is your name, Lord? And you chew on it. You use it as a conversation starter with the Lord. Don't rattle it off. You make it personal. Is this all right? And that prayer can be enough. See, in the beginning, when the Lord created everything and He created it for Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve were just like you and me. We're related. And they said, yeah, good garden, but what about the fruit of the tree that we're not supposed to eat? Can we have that? And God, you can imagine God's like, ugh. No. when He's not looking. Let's always do with a bit more fruit. And look what happened. This is our nature, right, by the way? This is our nature. We don't sit in and go, oh, God, thank you so much. Who did this before you left for church this morning? No shows of hands, because I might think you're fibbing. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for the... I woke up this morning with a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for the gravity on earth that kept me laying in my bed all night. Constant. Awesome. Thank you for that air. Oh, that was a good breath, Lord. Awesome. Really cool. Oh, tap water. How good, Lord. Thank you. I'm going to turn that into coffee right now. Oh, coffee beans, Lord. Gee whiz. Good invention there. Appreciate it. We know. We got who ran late this morning? All right. We did. We ran later than we wanted to. And when you're running late, it's hard to give thanks to God too, isn't it? Because you're running around focusing on your own stuff and focusing on what you're missing out on. Slow down a bit is what I'm saying here. Slow down a bit in your life. Because the world has got you wound up. Turn to the person next to you and say, slow down, so I know that you've heard me. We have to slow down a bit. And here's what we can do when we slow down. If you're striving for more, and remember, sheep don't strive. If you're striving for more, listen to me, write this one down. Subdue the urge to strive. Subdue it. Don't cancel it. Subdue it. Subdue it. Just throw a bit of prayer on it. So throw a bit of praise onto it. Throw a bit of thanksgiving onto it. Subdue it. Because if you go get it, it's good. It's okay. If the Lord gives it to you, it's better. The blessing is better when it comes from God. I can go out tomorrow and get a side hustle. Gainer and I were watching YouTube videos on side hustles. Side hustle, Janet, is where you have another little job on the side that doesn't take much time, but it could potentially make you more money. And we were talking about a side hustle. last night. We're talking about this book thing. Like, I've written books before and had them published, and we're talking about how we could do that easily. And there's this YouTube video. It's like, make $5,000 extra a month from a side hustle. And I'm like, that's great. What's that going to take away from? It's going to take away from my prayer life. It's going to take away from maybe preparation for Connect Group. It's going to probably take away from, well, obviously not my fitness life, but I could go for a jog in that time, maybe, or ride a push bike or do some Pilates or maybe whatever, right? But it's going to make me busier. It's going to take me away from God. Or I could just say, God, if this is something you want me to have for a reason, you want me to have it that I can't see yet, then if it's from you, great, I'd love to have it. But if it's not from you, then you're going to make me into a different person for some reason. And your plan is way better than my plan. That's patience. That's patience. Anyone could do with some more patience? In Romans 10:10, I knew I had to share this verse. I'm not going to share all of it, but in Romans 10:10 to 14, it says, "For it is believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile," that's you guys, "are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This next bit. I want you to add some weight to this. "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?" Doesn't mean how can they believe that he exists, but believe in him. Believe in his character. Believe in his promises. Believe in that he provides for us. Believe in that he wants better for you. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? I'm going to wrap it up in a universal quantifier. How can they only call on him? Because sometimes we pray, "Father God, just thank you. Can we want to just..." And then we go do it ourselves. We give it to God. Then we go and take it away with the next hand. You got to, in order to have the life you want, to have the life, and the life you want is the life God created for you, by the way. That's the life you want. Forget about any other stuff. I'm going to tell you now. The life you actually want is the one that God created for you. You don't want the other one, the one that you created for you. That's second rate. That's the chicken feed version or the shiploads version of your life. You want the Louis Vuitton version of your life. You want the Jean-Paul Gaultier version of your life. I just wanted to say a few fancy names in an accent. Oui. You want that version of your life. You want the life created by the Creator. Forget the second-rate stuff. So when you're going away to pray after today's message, pray in that way. Give me the life you created for me, personally. It will fit you so well. You will feel so good. You will be so confident. You will never have to worry about money or fame or fortune or notoriety or confidence or anything, because you will be wearing a garment designed for you by God. It'll feel good. You want more of that, right? Be encouraged. In the time I got left, I got two more points. The first one was always going to be longer. The second point is prayer. No, second point is power. Sorry. Last point is prayer. Just look at God's work throughout history. Remember before I said that there would be a few things that I would bring up? Let's do a little quick overview of some significant events, mostly in the Old Testament. Let's look at the significant event of Adam and Eve being banished from the garden. Significant event. God was in that. God had to intervene there. The flood. Noah, you guys know that one, right? Significant event, do you think? God had to intervene there. Noah's family being saved in that significant event. God had to intervene there. All the animals going two by two to the ark. Significant event. God had intervened there. The Tower of Babel, fast forwarding a bit. People made bricks. I have made bricks. I will build tower. Well, the brick was the equivalent of the computer chip back then, right? It was like a pretty big deal. It's like, wow, you made a brick? You're like Elon Musk. Who's Elon Musk? I don't know. Too long ago. But the brick was pretty significant. What can we do with this brick? Well, we could stack them on top of each other. That's fantastic. Let's make a tower. Wow, we're so good. God intervened. See, when we build ourselves up, God intervenes. Then there was, of course, Abram's call, and in between Abram and Abraham, God intervened. The covenant with Abraham. Then we fast forward to Joseph. How many times God intervened there? Moses, his trials, God intervened, God intervened, God intervened, God intervened, God intervened. And if we looked at all those things that God intervened in and we put them on CNN today, it'd make what's happening with old Trumpy and Biden look a bit weak, wouldn't it? We'd be looking at it going, he threw a stick onto the floor and turned into a snake? Whoa! He must be a liberal. Forget what the world is telling you and have faith in the God who created you. Don't get caught up in all the drama. There's too much of it. Get caught up in speaking life. Get caught up in reminding people of who they are in Christ. Be a Christian who says, yeah, but. Yeah, but. Oh, the world's going to poo. Yeah, but you don't know God. Oh, but I've got no money in my bank. Yeah, but you don't know the power of God.
Oh, but I'm depressed.
You don't know the power of God.
My leg's falling off.
You don't know the power of God. This is who you are. You're carriers of that message. I'm just here to remind you of it today. My biggest concern today was that someone would walk away and not believe what I'm saying about them. About you. Like every single person who is under my gaze right now, this is true for. You're not excluded from this. You don't have to qualify for this. This is you. God has given you this gift, this power of the Holy Spirit to go out into the world. It's the only thing Jesus told us to do, to go out into all the world and be message bearers, to say, yeah, but you don't know God. Do you want to practice? Yeah, but. You don't know God. Practice it more during the week. And by reading the word, you'll hear more about God. My last point is prayer. If the band wanted to come up, that's cool. Might make this last point sound amazing if there's keys behind it. I've written this title here, and you can write it down as well. Prayer, comma, or semicolon maybe. The unseen force. I'm a pretty tough guy. I don't get scared of physical confrontations. I was born and raised, as you know, in Frankston in Victoria, so nothing much scares me. I've seen a lot of stuff. I wouldn't recommend it. But there's so much more power in prayer than there is in anything else. There's more power in prayer than there is in labor. There's more power in prayer than there is in worry. There's more power in prayer than there is in striving. Because the fight is not in the flesh. Thank you, one person. The fight is not in the flesh, but in the powers and principalities of an unseen realm. Heaven is me and Lonesy. Heaven is closer than I am to Leonie right now. That's how close heaven is. It's closer than your next... Finish my sentences. Breath. This isn't a stand and deliver thing. This is a together thing. We're going to believe this together, or we're not a church. We're a gaggle if we don't believe it together. Our collective noun will be gaggle if we don't believe it together. A gaggle of Christians. Or could we be a church of Christians? Could we be a body of Christians? Could we be one body who believes this together? Amen? God's response to prayer is this. In Romans 10:13, everyone, not everyone except you, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm going to suggest that you know him and understand him as well, and know his name and understand his name as well, and know his character and understand his character as well. Because if you don't, it's like yelling into an empty void. It's like screaming into a chasm. Hello?
Hello?
You hear your own voice back. But if you know his name, and you know who he is, and you know how close he is, and you call his name, I promise you, the Bible promises you, forget my promise. My promise is nothing compared to the promise of God. I promise you, he will respond. He might not respond like downloading an app. He might not respond like flicking a channel on Netflix. He might not respond the way you want. It might be a bit like shopping on Amazon, praying with God. Go with me on this. You order one thing, you get another. Or maybe it's Temu that does that, I don't know. But whatever you got was meant for you, if it's from God. Whatever you got is meant for you, good or bad. Good or bad, it's right for you. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, if you keep pressing in, if you keep your relationship, then it's right for you. Because he'll see you through it. He'll see you through the healing. He'll make you stronger. He'll turn you more into the person that he had designed for you in the first place and less of the person that you had. I share this with you firsthand, guys. I was a creation of my own creation for many years. I wasn't a bad person. I was a good person. I tried to do the right thing. I was always trying to help people. But I created this thing, this character, and God just one day went, nup. And he put his foot on my neck, metaphorically, but it felt like it too, and held me down until I didn't have the strength to get back up again. And when I finally did get up, it was in his strength. And what I have found, and what people tell me as well, it's not just me saying this, other people are telling me as well, they're like, man, you're different somehow. Really? Yeah, you're easier to be around, some people say. It's true. They're probably right. Because I was a character that I'd created and not a creation of God. And you all are creations of God. Beautiful creations of God. Less of you, though, more of him, yeah? Because if people are going to see Christ, it's harder to see if there's too much of you in front. So a little bit less of you, huh? Even though you're awesome and I love you, you might be easy to be around too. How's this message gone today? We're right? Yeah? Is this for someone today? I want to set you all a challenge. Now, not everyone in the congregation's here today, but all the people that need to be are. Can I set a challenge? It's not a tough one. It won't cost you any money. Can I set a challenge? From the front to the back. Is it okay? And if I set this challenge, can I expect that you do it? Because it's not from me, right? This is a challenge that the Lord put on my heart for you. Ready?
Yeah.
This week, for 7 days, pray for others.
Yeah.
Each day, for 7 days, pray for others. Pray for, look around and pray for people here. Before you leave today, ask people here how they would like you to pray for them. In your connect groups during the week, pray for others. When you're scrolling social media, pray for others. When you're walking down the street and you see something going on, pray for others. Because I can declare this. I'm going to prophesy it. I actually wrote it down because the Lord said, prophesy it over them. When we do this, the atmosphere will change. It will change. Not it might change. Not let's give it a go. Let's not give it a crack and see if this will work. When we do it, it will change the atmosphere. Because your words, when spoken in prayer to the God of the universe, He will hear them according to His will and His plan, which is to love every single person, for every single person to come into relationship with Him, and for every single person to know Him, and that every knee will bow. That's His. That's not just like a thing that's nice for the church to do. That's our mission on earth. But if y'all aren't praying for people, we're paying a Christian schmuck tax, and that's no good. Is that okay? Challenge accepted? Good. I'm in it with you. Let's stand and praise God, and I'll be back in just a tick.
There's no way, no way you're gonna